All right, 3, 2, 1, and we are live, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the T-Hatch Podcast, where we have open and in-depth conversations about the things that you and I care about. Today on the T-Hatch Podcast, I'm going to be talking about social media companies, and more specifically, should they be censoring content that is posted by their users? This has been a huge topic of discussion here in 2020, especially in any political circles. It has been a big topic of discussion when it comes to the 2020 campaign for the presidency in the United States of America, as well as other specific, more localized campaigns across the country. So I figured it was a topic that is important to talk about, as well as I want to present some new, maybe not necessarily new ideas, but present some reasons as to why it may not be a great idea to go all the way down this road of having social media companies censor posts from users for a few reasons, which I will get into later. However, first thing I want to do here is actually watch a clip from the Majority Report and a segment that they did talking about potentially censoring social media. So let's take a look.
Word, ombudsman. An official appointed to investigate individuals' complaints against maladministration, especially that of public authority. Now, the New York Times famously had an ombudsperson, and they quit during the Trump administration. My conspiratorial reading on that is because they don't want to actually have to account for the type of lies that a certain part of their writership is going to be spewing, so we're just going to eliminate the position entirely.
I would say your speculation is on the mark, Matt.
But to get back to the social network stuff, what they should be doing is, I think they should be policing, but they should not be policing with this type of algorithm stuff. So you should have hired ombudspersons with public profiles, with a history of judgments that you can go look, okay, they decided to pull down this tweet, and here's their stated reason for that. Especially for these high profile cases, there should be, because absolutely they should not be allowed to operate this sort of thing based on algorithms. It's a complete abdication of responsibility. And like, I know the critiques of, you know, we don't want these tech companies to like be censorious. I understand all that stuff, but they do need, there's some sort of platform management that has to be done, and they need to be specific about it. And they always want to avoid that. Instead just say, no, look at these policies. Somewhere in this thing is you ran afoul of it. And often they're just lying. And you see people like right-wing provocateurs that get kicked off whatever profile, and they actually write that they didn't probably run afoul of the terms, at least any more than other people do. And so they nurse this like victim complex out it. Just own the things that just forget the idea that there's going to be one size fits all or one algorithm fits all, and make the editorial decisions, hire people to do it, or you shouldn't be a company.
All right. So after watching this clip, a few main takeaways there. Primarily, obviously, we're looking at Matt's opinion there among all three. I do recommend that you should go watch that full video if you actually want to fully understand their thoughts and opinions on the subject. So I don't claim that this little snippet is a perfect representation of that. However, I do think it's a good jumping in point to talk about a few things that I think are important when it comes to this discussion of censoring social media. So something you saw Matt talk about there was having what he would refer to as ombudspersons that you would hire to do the work of moderating this content in place of an algorithm, because the point he's making there is that algorithms are not sufficient to do the job of moderating content. And I do definitely agree with Matt on that algorithms have largely failed at doing their job of moderating content. What we see happen is anything that has a certain keyword, a meta tag, anything like that will just immediately get dropped off the platform. And as they mentioned there, just be cited for stepping outside of the acceptable use policy of that particular social media company without any further explanation there, because there is no further explanation. It was an algorithm that saw one little bit of whatever and pulled your video down, pulled your post down. That's what's happening with those algorithms, and I largely agree that we should not allow that to continue happening. However, I disagree with the idea that moderation is a task that can be effectively done by a workforce. And there's a few reasons why. First would be volume. The sheer volume of posts on social media sites in 2020 is absolutely staggering. And I really don't know how you would train, hire, maintain enough people to effectively do this job. Here's why. So according to Omnicore Agency, every 60 seconds, that's every 1 minute, Facebook sees 317,000 status updates, 400 new users, 147,000 photos uploaded, and 54,000 links shared. So that would leave you needing 518,400 moderators reviewing one post every minute. And that still does not account that these workers are not working 24/7, and also does not take into account the fact that 1 minute is not even close to enough time to actually assess the truth accurately. That if you disagree with that, then we have a far greater misunderstanding. But even if you take out the 54,000 shared links and the 400 new users as numbers that you don't need to include in that number, okay, great. Go ahead and adjust that number. If you take these numbers that we see from Facebook, and just glean what you could expect from someone like Twitter, YouTube, my goodness, the amount of content that gets uploaded to YouTube is absolutely mind-boggling. And spread this out across all the other social media companies, all the other apps that these same social media companies also operate. The volume of posts is staggering. It is hard to wrap your head around. Actually visualizing this in a way that the human brain can innately understand is difficult to do, much like we see people trying to equate what it means to have $1 billion and trying to show you, you know, football fields of dollars stacked up. It just doesn't add up in the human brain. The same thing is happening here with the volume of posts coming from social media. So to have people physically watch these videos, physically read these posts, and review the content therein and try and make an assessment of the truth, it's just logistically impossible. I mean, you would be hiring such a gigantic workforce that it would completely alter what social media is and what it is able to be. The volume at which they have been able to expand would not be possible. Now, that said, I'm not here to advocate for social media companies. I'm not affiliated with any social media companies, and beyond posting videos and, you know, tweets, whatever it may be, I have no affiliation with social media companies and have no interest in their success beyond my ability to use a platform and share my ideas. So I'm not coming from a perspective to defend social media companies. I don't think gigantic multinational corporations need people defending them. But I do think there are some key points that need to be made. One is that volume is definitely too much to moderate with human beings. Second is the principle of actually moderating content on these social media platforms. Why is that? So in a society like ours that values freedom of speech and the unimpeded exchange of ideas, should we censor the modern town square, which is effectively what social media is? That is the modern town square. Furthermore, who decides what is and is not acceptable speech, or what is or is not true? Is the media the arbiter of truth? No. Are tech companies the arbiter of truth? I would say no. Is it a national board of representatives that we elect into place who decide what is and is not acceptable? Well, to me, that's not acceptable. Or, in my opinion, should it be no one at all? The reality is that the onus is on us to fight misinformation, to fight falsehoods, and to promote truth, to promote information, fact. We must be the arbiters of truth. We must be the ones to uphold facts and to expose falsehoods and misinformation for what they are. This is what it means to have the free exchange of ideas, the free flow of speech. It is on us, the people, everybody, the populace, those of us who are smart enough to understand what is based upon a fallacy, those of us who care enough to do the research to actually glean the actual truth and find the facts, we need to share that hard work that we have done with the people around us, because we all bring different skills to the table. There are some people who could not be bothered to research the facts of how many posts are made by social media companies, or whether or not this particular post by this user is true, or whether or not this report is actually reputable. There are people who just have no capacity for that. Their willpower is destroyed immediately at the thought of doing so. On the flip side, there are people who are great at that, that enjoy doing that, that can't do things that this other person could do. So some people, maybe they're a farmer or a mechanic or whatever it may be, what they do and what they're good at is going and solving these problems that they're faced with all day long. It does not matter how long they have to get their hands dirty or how long they have to bang their head against a problem until they solve it. They can do that. Well, sometimes that person who is good at discerning truth, fact, and reputable sources, a lot of times they don't have the patience to deal with solving those problems. So that is to say, different people have different skills, and the entire point of having a society is for everyone to be able to benefit off of the pros of other people and mitigate the cons of yourself with the pros of those other people. That is why it is so integral that we are together, that we act as one here, even if it may not be always cohesive. Just like a family, you're gonna have some freaking fights, but at the end of the day, do you have the same common goals? Can you work toward one thing in common and make that happen? That's what needs to happen here when it comes to fighting misinformation, when it comes to upholding truth, fact, reputable sources. It is on us to make sure that that happens. It is on those of us who can do so to share that information with everybody else and to make sure that every time we see somebody out here spreading misinformation, falsehoods, fallacies, that we call that out, that we make them look as silly as they are, because that is the way that we stop the spread of misinformation. If every time somebody gets up on Fox News and starts spouting some BS and starts lying, I don't care if it's Fox News, CNN, MSNBC, they all do the same thing. When they get up there and spout their lies, their talking points, their misinformation, whatever they need to spread to get their agenda done, it is on us to make them look as silly as they are, to call them out, to point it out, and to point out how stupid they are for thinking that they can get away with saying that to the American public. That is what needs to happen, not only with the national media, but with social media as well, with people who want to post and spread misinformation. We need to make them look silly by being the people who are right, by being the people who do uphold truth, fact, and good information. So that is the thesis here, is that it is on us to make sure that the information that spreads throughout our society is good. It is not on social media companies. It is not on our government. And that is a decision that we very much made in the United States of America and have been living upon that for the last 200 years. And we must make sure that we maintain that in and through the 21st century. It is integral to who we are and the society that we have. So that is what I plead of you today, is to make sure that you don't allow yourself to fall into a false sense of security where you let somebody else decide what is and is not good information. That is your job. You need to decide for yourself what is good information. You need to do some vetting for yourself on if I should believe what this person is telling me. Is this information that is being posted reputable, trustworthy, something that I myself would trust? You need to decide that for yourself, even when it comes to my channel. You need to research things for yourself and decide if that is something that you can trust. So it is up to you. It is up to all of us. Let's do this. That's what I had to add. So I appreciate you tuning in to the podcast today. As always, if you enjoy the show and want to see it grow, the absolute best way to do so is to simply share this with your friends. So go ahead and leave a like, comment, subscribe. You guys know what to do. It's 2020. So with all that out of the way, I appreciate you tuning in and you have a great rest of your day. Peace.